Welcome back to Conversations for the Good. Hello, Dr. Jane.
Hello, Anna. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. How was your week?
Oh, week was great.
Good.
Week was really great. Lots of interesting things happening. All good. Good to be together, too.
Yes. Yes, lots of interesting things happening for sure. You know, this week for me has been a week of staying close to my thoughts and noticing how often I check out in the midst of working or doing some simple tasks, like, you know, you and I had spoke about. And Dr. Jane, I got to tell you, the mind wanders off, you know, or dives into some agenda that happened 2 days ago or maybe last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. There seems to be endless categories, sometimes just daydreaming or questioning what I said or did or what they said or did. And then, I something really interesting happens. I notice that I'm not on the runaway train of my mind. And
no, you are on the runaway train of your mind.
Well, yes, I'm glad you corrected me on that. That's what I meant to say. Yes, I noticed that I am on the runaway train of my mind. And I take a breath and step off the train and kind of focus again on the task at hand and whatever is happening right now in the moment. I'm back at the mindful gym working my mindful muscles, Dr. Jane.
And I say, good for you, Anna, and work them you are. Yeah. You know, and we're practicing opening up to this present moment awareness by pausing. We're taking that pause and taking account of what's happening right now in the moment. And this witnessing is what we've called the observer self. It's a part of our consciousness that continues to provide feedback without any judgment or criticism. You know, how wonderful is that without judgment and criticism? You know, and this is the key to learning the mindful approach to life, you know, which is becoming aware of our inner life and how it plays out in the life we live moment to moment, day to day. So it's all about what makes us tick, you know, who or what is driving the bus of life, as we often say.
Oh boy, yes. Who is driving the bus of life? I never get tired of hearing this, Dr. Jane. I think it has to do with living much of my life baffled by how certain behaviors and attitudes seem to persist, even after my attempts to improve and change. I know I'm not alone in this kind of dilemma.
Oh, Anna, no. You know, we've all lived it. We're all living it. And it's why in this series that we're currently doing, that we're going to slow everything way, way down. You know, we want to really look at the process and take a careful look at all the dynamics of our thinking, feelings, you know, recognizing our patterns and triggers, and really noticing how they play out, creating our beliefs and our behaviors, you know, and the beliefs and behaviors that either work toward the best version of ourselves or undermine it. So it plays out in the choices we make throughout the day. And so often it's our autopilot thinking supporting autopilot actions. That's not a surprise to you, I know, that keep us from being our best. So our observer self puts the mirror up in front of us and says, you know, this is what you're thinking. This is what you're doing, Jane. This reactivity is taking over, Jane, you know? And so We're then able to, in the moment, as it's playing out, make a choice to either remain on the path that we're on, that habitual path, or choose a different route. You know, or sometimes we just want to capture the experience to increase our awareness of the relationship or interactions between the mind and body. And wow, you know, how about that? There we go again.
Yes, how about that, Jane?
How about that?
But our observer self isn't telling us what to do or what we should do, right?
Right. The observer self is very chill, Anna. You know, it doesn't have an opinion. There are no shoulds, no criticisms. You know, I've often thought of this part of consciousness as almost being kind of like Dr. Spock from the Star Trek series. You know, we're presented with information, but the observer self doesn't direct us. You know, it doesn't display any interest in the outcome. You know, it's just informing us of what's happening right now in the moment. And as this becomes a regular practice, the observer self might start to show up more spontaneously. You know, it's what we do with the information that's then our personal conscious choice.
So I'm gaining strength in this first level of awareness. I'm in the pause and recognizing what I'm thinking, feeling, and doing while it's happening. And now I'm ready for, you know, what's next?
Yes. Well, what's next is we're going to move next into the part of the mindful process called the portal. You know, this is that doorway. It's the entrance into another level of our awareness. And this all happens in a millisecond, Anna. We're really just slowing down the process here. But think about it. We've stepped off the runaway train. We've stepped away from the tracks. We've been provided with information via our observer self about what's happening. And now the portal, or this entrance or doorway, provides the space for discernment. You know, what am I going to do with this information? You know, this place of discernment is where we find, really, it's an amazing discovery. We find our self-awareness and our self-knowledge, and they become part of the process. So unlike the observer self, self-awareness does have an opinion. And that opinion is always governed by being honest with ourselves, true honesty.
Well, we've really shifted in our process.
Yes, yes. And the initial shift was from focusing on our surroundings, what we had in, were our tasks or what we were intending to do, to what's going on inside. Thoughts, our feelings, body sensations, and self-awareness takes us more deeply inside of ourselves and can be very challenging because it's in those deeper places, those recesses, you know, that we face fears and feelings of inadequacy and sometimes failures and flaws, sometimes regrets, and also that shadow self, that darker side of our personality that very often we want to disown.
Yes, I can see how that could be very, very challenging. And diving into areas that are uncomfortable from the sounds of it. And Dr. Jane, I can already feel my pushback on this.
Well, understandably, Anna, you know, it takes courage to face the uncomfortable within ourselves, you know, what's uncomfortable on the path to our best and highest self. And it's knowing our strengths and limitations. This is the self-awareness, knowing what needs improvement, and what parts of us resist doing those things that support the best version of ourselves. You know, knowing that small part, that little part of us that is within all of us that wants to say no way or whatever, you know, and sabotages our best efforts.
I know we all have a tough time admitting it, but that part is alive and well. And
yes.
Yes. And we can be most creative with our excuses to cover up the truth. You know, the devil made me do it, right?
That's right. That's the oldie goldie. You know, and we all have layers of defense mechanisms, you know, and these get fired up and prevent us from getting too close to those parts of ourselves we dislike or want to disown. So our practice of self-awareness and self-knowledge really provides the introspection, that turning toward ourselves, turning into ourselves, that's absolutely necessary to unearth the truth and begin to be present with and sit with this truth to know it more fully. You know, this must be done, always on, must be done with a great deal of kindness and compassion.
Well, that makes me feel better. Otherwise, it could turn into self-bashing, and that never works, right?
Well, you're right. You're right. You know, we're not suggesting beating ourselves up with harsh commentaries or judgments. You know, let's leave the critical parent that resides in all of us out of the picture. You know, this is about leading ourselves onto a healthy path. And we're doing it as if we were a loved child who had lost their way. So it's about being kind, gentle, compassionate. You know, we want to create through this loving kindness, you know, a wanting for a better way, a real desire for a better way. You know, we're wanting motivation to continue to self-discover and to plan for change, you know, a change that's believable and achievable. You know, so there's a strong correlation between self-awareness and emotional intelligence, you know, being able to identify and understand emotions. You know, so often we think of emotional IQ as having to do with our perception and behavior toward others. But really, you know, it starts at home. It's what's going on within me. It's not just about what I see in others and how I react.
Well, that makes me think of that saying, you can't give what you don't have, you know, and loving kindness gives us the encouragement to move forward with our self-awareness in a new direction and toward new possibilities.
Yes. Yeah. Self-awareness, you know, in this relationship with the observer self, knows our patterns of thoughts and feelings, you know, our perceptions and motivations. It also knows our resistances, our preferences, you know, our tendencies, that whole history of our tendencies. You know, so self-awareness is also it's also honest about the consequences of our actions and also our inactions, you know, and our tendency to settle for less when we've really hoped for something else, you know, so it can reveal a thread of thinking and beliefs that justify our negative position or our lack of wanting more of ourselves or ourselves. You know, remember the saying, you know, in the spirit in which we do something can be as important as the act itself.
Oh, yes. Yes. I remember that. And the mice in the maze, right?
Right. Right.
One is running towards some tasty cheese and the other is trying to outrun the predator owl. The mouse with the cheese is operating in a positive approach mode, and the poor mouse trying to escape sheer death is operating in a negative aversion mode.
That's exactly right, Anna. You know, the truth was revealed in the second part of that University of Maryland study, you know, because it showed that the players with the negative aversion mode operated like that. They were running away from the owl, you know, the predator, were 50% less creative at problem-solving tasks. So the negativity that we find ourselves in has all the potential to suck the enthusiasm out of us. And this shows up in how we live our lives. You know, to be our best and highest selves, we have to learn to live creatively, to plan our changes in ways that fuel our enthusiasm, fuel our creativity.
Yeah, so we're consciously changing our thinking and our approach to life.
Right. That's exactly it. You know, and this is also referred to as changing our mindset, changing the pattern of how we view ourselves, how we view the world, you know, and what's going on in the world.
Well, changing our mindset. I like the sound of it. And the way we do things isn't etched in stone, and it opens up possibilities, new views on the world and on ourselves.
And isn't that nice? Isn't that nice?
Yes, it
is.
It was
Carol Dweck, you know, in her book Mindset, that talks about two different modes of mindset. One is the fixed mindset and the other is the growth mindset. And as you can probably tell by the two labels, one operates in that positive approach mode of living and problem solving, and the other tends to be more rigid and sticky in the way it approaches problems. So, you know, it's not that we enjoy being this way. It's that we've been living this way. You know, maybe we saw our parents live this way, and maybe we assumed, you know, that with practice over the years and decades that we would find our way out. But really it's, you know, we stay stuck, you know, and we formulate beliefs and our beliefs make it so. So looking at our mindset again requires rigorous honesty. You know, we won't necessarily like what we find, yet we need the accuracy as a starting point, you know, that truth, that honesty, and the empathy and compassion for ourselves is what we also need to find it.
That's so important. And so we've been informed of the patterns of our thinking and feeling by the observer self in the pause, and now we're in the portal, and our self-awareness is assessing what this information means and if it's aligned with who we take ourselves to be from the inside out.
That's right. That's right. And we're not judging or criticizing, yet we're also, you know, analyzing, you know, analyzing whether or not what we're finding is where we want to be, or does it accurately portray who we take ourselves to be? You know, there might be a knee-jerk reaction to justify our position. You know, we want to notice that, or we might want to admonish ourselves. Well, let's notice that as well. You know, it's about being curious and interested. You know, we're in a discovery process. We're moving beyond the barriers that shield us from knowing the truth about ourselves.
Unpacking me, right?
Yep. That's a perfect way to say it, you know, and without the labels of good or bad. It's just, oh, well, you look at that. Isn't that interesting about me? Yeah, that looks familiar. Or, you know, I wonder where that came from. You know, we're being real with whatever shows up, holding the process in kindness and curiosity for the sake of our journey as we're traveling toward the best version of ourselves. You know, and we're watching our thoughts and feelings from that observer position, that observer self position. So now we're lingering a little bit so that we can tune into our self-awareness. So our self-awareness might provide more information for our self-discovery, knowing more about myself from the inside out. You know, this move into the portal supports us knowing ourselves and discerning what we have control over and what's really outside of our control. So we're in a better position to inquire, is this the life I want to live? You know, or, you know, where are the possibilities or shifts or possible changes that can be made, you know, and what seems to be working for me? You know, the last part of this inquiry, you know, how is this working for me, is sometimes the most important. You know, even if we find something we dislike, yet we continue to do it, the question is, how do I make this right? You know, as I say, how is it working for me? Who will it affect if I change or modify it? You know, and is it worth it? Is change really worth it?
Yes. And these are all very important questions. Like, you know, whose life am I living? Yikes.
Yeah. You know? That's right.
So, yeah. So how about a few suggestions as to how we might drop into this self-discovery within the portal of mindful awareness this week?
Well, the best way to begin, Anna, is to be willing to do a few things differently, you know, and let's just try it out for the week. You know, if we want to discover the new, something new about ourselves, we might want to set a few things aside and try an activity that's unfamiliar. So to start with, and I usually get a lot of resistance with this, it's about putting down our devices for a timed period on a daily basis and spending quality time with ourselves. You know, start small, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, you know, me with me time. You know, notice the barrage of thoughts that march in with criticism or commentary. You know, as we're sitting in there with ourselves, you know, the thoughts might come in. Oh my gosh, this is dumb. What am I supposed to be doing? You know, me with me, I don't like this. I don't have time for this. There's nothing there. Oh, I'm really screwed. You know, it's just, but just see what shows up. You know, we're all different. And there are things that are going to show up that you might be surprised with. And then again, you might not. You know, it's also about making time to practice turning toward our thoughts and feelings. You know, just taking that pause, observing what's happening, no judgment. No criticism, just be curious. What's happening right now in this quiet moment? You know, or possibly jotting down thoughts, maybe things that show up regularly. You know, I love the idea of journaling. You know, journaling is an amazing way to inquire into ourselves, yet most of us will say that we don't have time for it. So one of the things I suggest is using our, and we'll go into this in just a moment, you know, the 3-minute breathing space, to allow a pause, identify the patterns, what's going on, that we can review, you know, and take a look at. And we're going to take a look at this practice as we close. But the other thing that we might want to do is be willing to explore and implement, you know, a creative activity. It could be something that we're creating ourselves, okay, something we're doing that's creatively, or maybe it's a trip to a museum, or maybe listening to some different kind of interesting, lovely music. You know, but keep it outside the usual routine. Shake it up a little bit. Another thing that we can do is take time to find activities in daily life to practice the mindfulness. Mindfulness of being in the moment fully. You know, switch it up. We've talked about eating mindfully. You know, we can take the stairs mindfully. We can clip our nails mindfully. You know, there are a myriad of things. Any small task will do. And also allow for quiet moments. You know, it's time to pause, observe what's going on. Notice the thinking. What kind of thinking are we into? You know, am I mentally complaining or making a grocery list or a to-do list? Or maybe I'm recalling some funny memory. You know, if it's a feeling, name it. You know, stay close to it. Is it dread? Am I happy? Do I feel worried or am I apprehensive? You know, just be with whatever shows up. And talk and treat yourself like a best friend. You know, a best friend that's going through a challenging time. You know, be kind and compassionate and supportive. And also, lastly, utilize your support network. You know, ask for affirmations. Ask for support to be the best version of yourself. Friends are always glad to jump in and be there for us.
Oh, absolutely. All of these are so important. And oh, yes, I am on it, Dr. Jane.
Go on.
And we want to end with that wonderful 3-minute breathing space that puts us squarely into our awareness.
Yes, Anna. You know, so often this is referred to as mindfulness 911, because when we find ourselves whirling, this is a 3-minute piece that we can do that brings us back into the awareness. So we start by finding a comfortable position, sitting or lying down. The key is to keep the spine straight, comfortable. Just let ourselves settle in for a moment, a couple of nice, easy breaths. You know, and we can begin the breathing space by merely observing all that's happening in the moment. Thoughts, the feelings, the body sensation, all the sensations, the reactivity, the triggers. Let it all be felt and seen, a full panoramic view. And stay with this for a full minute. And then we move into our breath, really gathering all of our focus, all of our awareness to the breath. Solely on the breath. Inhale, exhale, you know, and the gentle response of the body to the breathing, particularly around the chest and the abdomen. And again, give this gathering toward the breath a full minute with the breath. And then the last minute, what we usually start with is a mini scan of the body, just noticing sensations. Start with the bottoms of our feet, up our legs to our hips. Notice what's happening, you know, to the trunk of our bodies, up to the shoulder blades, any contact we might be feeling, to the surface of the body, furniture. I mean, there's lots of sensations. Could be internal sensations. And then moving to the arms and the neck and all sides of the head. And then bringing ourselves together with our attention to the breath and the body in the fullness, in its wholeness, all the sensations, this last minute. And when we finish, Anna, we can inquire into ourselves. What was I aware of in this practice? What did I notice in these 3 minutes? What's up with me? What do I need in this moment? Or, you know, what's the next best thing to do?
That is definitely a favorite for sure. I love this practice. Thank you so much, Dr. Jane.
Oh,
and I'm
welcome.
Eager to have time to explore my self-awareness and see what it offers me. I'm sure our listeners are as well.
That's great, Anna. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Until our next conversation.